श्रीमद् भगवद गीता साधक संजीवनी चैप्टर 7 वर्स 2 लिंक इन द फर्स्ट वर्स लॉर्ड कृष्ण आस्क्ड अर्जुन टू लिसन टू हाउ ही वुड नो हिम इन फुल नाउ इन द नेक्स्ट वर्स ही प्रॉमिसेस टू टेल हिम अबाउट इट ज्ञानम तेहम सवे ज्ञानम मेदं वक्ष्याम्यशेषत यज्ज्ञात्वा नेह भूयोन्य ज्ञातव्यमवशिष्यते I shall unfold to you in full this knowledge, Jnan, along with secrets of manifest divinity. Having known which, nothing more remains to be known. Comment. Jnanam teham savijnanam medam vakshyamya sheshataha. Lord Krishna declares, O Arjun, I myself shall teach you in full this jnan, knowledge and vijnan, real knowledge of manifest divinity. No one else can describe me in full, because their knowledge about me is limited, so they cannot know myself in full. As my knowledge is limitless and imperishable, being ever omniscient, after knowing it, nothing else remains to be known. In the 16th verse of the 10th chapter, Arjuna says to Lord Krishna, You alone can describe in full your divine glories. So Lord Krishna in response to this curiosity says, I shall tell you of my important divine glories because there is no end to my manifestation. Chapter 10 verse 19. At the end of this chapter again, he declares, There is no end of my divine glories. Chapter 10 verse 40 Here in chapter 7 verse 2 he declares I shall unfold to you the true essence of real knowledge realization and having known which nothing else remains to be known It means that God's glories manifestations and powers etc are endless In Ramcharitramanas also, it has been declared, The form of the Lord without attributes is easy to know, while the form endowed with attributes is too difficult to understand. His manifestations are so varied that even ascetics find themselves at their wit's end. It means that there is no end to the glories of the Lord. Endowed with attributes. So how could a man know him? By using his mind? But a man can know the divine essence which is all-pervading. As in different ornaments made of gold, there is nothing but gold. Similarly, in the whole universe, there is nothing else except divine manifestation. A man can know of gold without knowing about different ornaments. Similarly, a striver can know that God pervades everywhere, in all creatures and things, even though he may not know the names of different creatures and things, etc., which form parts of his divine glories. By knowing the reality about God, nothing else remains to be known. In the same way as thirst is quenched after drinking water. In the second verse of the 10th chapter, the Lord declares, Neither gods nor great sages know the secret of my birth. In the third verse, he declares, He who knows me as unborn and without beginning among men is undeluded and purged of all sins. Now, a question arises, How a man can know him when even gods and great sages do not know him? The answer is that if an aspirant accepts him as unborn and without a beginning, with a firm faith, it means that he knows him, because it is within the power of man only to accept him as unborn and without beginning. As a child cannot know a marriage procession of its parents, so too gods, sages, liberated souls, etc., cannot know of incarnations, godly sports, and divine glories of the Lord, because he is limitless and unfathomable. But a devotee can know him in essence. In order to know Lord in reality, in the discipline of knowledge, there is preeminence of knowledge, while in the discipline of devotion, there is preeminence of assumption or acceptance. If reality is accepted firmly, it cannot be given up, because it is real. When no one can force a man to renounce even a false assumption, how can an assumption of real affinity for God be renounced? This assumption is in no way less significant than knowledge. It is as effective as knowledge. In the discipline of devotion, there is preeminence of acceptance. In the first verse of the 10th chapter, Lord Krishna says to Arjuna, O mighty armed, listen to my supreme word which I speak to you out of desire to do you good. Here listen means accept. Importance is attached to acceptance because it is the context of devotion. In the discipline of knowledge, importance is attached to knowledge. In the first verse of the 14th chapter, Lord Krishna declares, I impart to you the supreme knowledge, the best of all forms of knowledge, acquiring which all sages have attained the highest perfection. In the discipline of devotion, an aspirant knows him by accepting his existence, while in the discipline of knowledge, a man accepts him by knowing him. In perfection, both of them are identified. An exceptional fact pertaining to knowledge, wisdom, and real knowledge of manifest divinity. The world is born of the Lord and it merges into him. Therefore, he is the root of the world. This belief, acceptance, is knowledge. There is nothing in the world except God. That is, the world is nothing except manifest divinity. This realization is real knowledge, vijnana. Lord Krishna, in chapter 7, verses 4 through 6, declares, My nature is of two kinds, lower and higher, and I am the origin of the whole universe. By this declaration, Lord Krishna referred to knowledge, jnana. There's nothing else besides me, like clusters of yarn beads, formed by knots on a thread. All this is threaded on me. From chapter 7, verse 7. By this declaration, Lord Krishna explains what real knowledge, vijnan, is. I am the sapidity in water, the light in the moon and the sun, the eternal seed of all beings. Whatever other entities there are, born of sattva, the mode of goodness, rajasa, the principle of activity, the mode of passion, and of tamasa, the principle of inertia, the mode of ignorance. Know these all as evolved from me alone. Chapter 7, verse 8 through 12. By this declaration, he explains the essence of knowledge. In reality, neither I exist in them, nor they in me. That is, I manifest myself in all forms because none have their free existence. In chapter 7, verse 12, by this declaration, he explains realization, vijnana. The whole of this creation is deluded by objects evolved from the three modes of nature, prakriti. But those who are not deluded by the modes of nature and accept that these are born of me and are absorbed in me, by accepting so, they take refuge in me alone and cross the divine illusion of mine. Such devotees are of four types: a seeker of worldly objects, a sufferer, the seeker of knowledge, and a man of wisdom. All these are noble, but the man of wisdom is extremely dear to me, and he is my own self. Chapter 7, verses 13 through 18. By this declaration, he explains of knowledge. The man of realization who realizes that all is God is very rare. Chapter 7, verse 19. By this declaration, he explains realization, vijnan. Those who, being motivated by desires, worship gods, gain perishable fruit, while those who are my devotees attain me. I am not manifest to those who do not know me as the unborn and imperishable Supreme Spirit. I know the beings of the past, the present, and the future, but no one knows me. Those who are subject to illusion by the delusion of pairs of opposites follow a cycle of birth and death. But the sins of those who worship me with a firm resolve come to an end and they become free from the pairs of opposite. Chapter 7, verses 20 through 28. By this declaration also, he explains knowledge, jnana. Those who take refuge in me know Brahma, the infinite, Adhyatma, embodied souls, Karma, actions, Adibhuta, matter, Adideva, Brahma, and Adiyagna, the unmanifest divinity. That is, they realize that I manifest myself in all the movable as well as immovable. Chapter 7, verse 29 and 30. By this declaration, he explains realization. Yas gyatva neha bhuyo ya gyatavya mavashishyate. After knowing this wisdom and with realization, nothing remains to be known. It means that there is nothing else besides me. Gita 7, verse 7. And that all is God. Gita chapter 7, verse 19. After knowing this reality, nothing else remains to be known. On the other hand, if an aspirant possesses all knowledge about the world without knowing me, all his efforts are in vain. They bear no fruit. Whatever an aspirant knows with his senses, mind, and intellect is not true knowledge about God, because these all belong to matter, and matter cannot know reality, which is beyond matter. When one takes refuge in him, he knows him naturally, without making any effort, because he can be known by the self rather than with mind and intellect. Appendix. The para prakriti, higher nature, and the apara prakriti, lower nature, have no independent existence. This is jnana, knowledge, and the higher and the lower nature, all is God. This is vijnana. Therefore, all including ego is only God. This is jnana with vijnana. Gyatavyam. Which must be known and which can be known is called Gyatavyam. Having known Jnan with Vignan, that is the entire form of God, nothing remains to be known. He who wants to know the pure reality, nothing remains to be known to him. The reason is that when there is nothing else besides God, 7th verse of this chapter, then what more will remain to be known? Someone may raise a question that the Lord declares he will tell Jnan with Vignan. It means that the primary importance goes to Jnan, while Vignan is of secondary importance. But actually, it is not so. Only Jnan can lead to salvation, but endless bliss of love is attained only when it is accompanied by Vignan. Jnan is like money, and Vijnana is the feeling of attraction. Money does not provide the pleasure which attraction for money provides. Similarly, the bliss that is attained by Vijnana, devotion, is not attained by Jnana, knowledge. In Jnan, there is constant relish, but in Vijnan, there is such a relish which goes on increasing every moment. Therefore, while declaring Jnana with Vijnana, the Lord specially aims at Vijnana, and he wants to explain that it is superior to Jnan, because Vijnana stands for the Lord's entire form. End of verse 2. Sadhak Sanjeevani by Swami Ramsukhdas Ji.